Our next speaker has seen her work being published around the world. She is known for her intensely ornamental typographic illustration and design, combined with her charming and often funny writing. Ladies and gentlemen, Marion Benches.
Okay. I've always thought that my design process is very boring. I don't do multiple sketches or writing to get ideas out. My ideas stay in my head. In fact, I do a hell of a lot of work inside my head. So first, I hate to have to say this, but the vast majority of the time, I get an idea for what I want to do for a project immediately. If I don't get an idea immediately, I don't prep or even really work at it. I just let it sit, and generally, as I mull things over, or not, as the case may be, the idea will come to me. I also get more ideas than I can ever produce, so I write them down in a text file on my computer, and if I get really stuck, I'll go to that list and usually find something that fits. Okay, so process step number one is resting. I get a lot of sleep, a lot. I generally sleep between 8 and 10 hours a night, and when I have jet lag, that number can go up to 14 hours, which is way too much, but it is what happens. And that sleeping, or resting, if you will, can happen in many parts of my house. In the summer, I have an outdoor nest, perfect for daytime naps. My living room couch is also a favorite place for a little snooze. I often find that I wake up in the morning with ideas. These are different from the ideas that you wake up with in the middle of the night. Those ideas are shit. You know how you wake up at 3 a.m. and it seems you have the answer, the most brilliant solution to any of life's problems or to design? Usually you've forgotten it by morning, but if you haven't, or even more incredibly, if you've written it down, when you look at that idea in the real morning, you realize it is, for one reason or another, completely ridiculous. But this is very different from waking up, stretching, laying in bed lazily, and having this idea form in your mind. That idea is usually a good one. It may not work out, but it's usually a good start. Another place that this happens, not just for me, but very commonly for other people, is either in the shower or the bath. The point is to give the mind time to relax. It will wander and come up with its own ideas. There have been studies done on this, and leisure time and sleep are very important, particularly to creative individuals, people who need to come up with ideas. So step number two is thinking. I also have a number of places around my house where I like to sit around and think. I used to feel guilty about this, that I was doing nothing, but I've come to realize that I'm doing a lot, actually, inside my head as I'm just sitting there, working things over. I think about things, I get ideas, but I also work through those ideas in my head. I do the layouts, try out colors, make adjustments, imagine media, all inside my head. Even once I have the thing started and on the computer, I will frequently take breaks just to sit and think about it. I also sit and stare at the work. Probably if you observed me, you would think I was crazy, but I sit and stare at a sketch or at the screen for a long time, thinking about it and imagining its possibilities or pitfalls. Step number three is sketching. Once I've decided upon what I want to do, and I have a vision of it in my head, I next attempt to get the vision out onto paper. I do this by drawing by hand. Very, very rarely do I work directly on the computer, but most of the time I can't think on the computer. I find that it limits my thinking and my way of working. So I use pencils and erasers, and I often work on graph paper because I'm very grid-oriented and I like to keep things aligned. But again, I'm not sketching multiples of ideas. I'm sketching or drawing one idea, and my goal is to get that idea onto the paper in a complete as form as I possibly can. Often what comes out is not really what I had in my head, but I usually work with it anyway. Occasionally, this is a struggle. And either I find I can't articulate what I was thinking, or the idea itself proves not to be working or in some way unattainable. And then I'll return to thinking, or I'll abandon it for something else and wait for a new idea to come to me. Now, how many drawings I do and of what kind depend on how I'll be executing it. If my plan is to do it in Illustrator, I usually make one drawing, working and erasing and working until I have just what I want to scan into the computer as a template for tracing. These are some examples of the sketches and then the final work. But if I'm working by hand, painting, or using inks, I will often make the one drawing, all messy and scratchy and erasey, and then I'll trace it on tracing paper, and that will go on the light table with watercolor paper over top. So in that case, I need as clean and clear a copy as possible, because it's hard to see through the watercolor paper, even on a light table. And you can see that at work here. So step number four is final art. I work in a wide variety of materials. Pen and ink. Here's the sketch. Here's the final in pen and ink. Another one in pen and ink. I work with paints. So I have lots of brushes. Sometimes I work in watercolors or gouache. And other times I work in oil paints. I'm hoping to do more of this. This is a recent piece. I'll just tell you briefly, I was very surprised that the client accepted this piece because I'm not quite sure if they realized it, but I call it the vulva type. This is my drawer full of things that cut and scribe so that I can cut things out of other materials. And this is a piece I did in fun fur and then just photographed it in different positions and animated it. It's sort of dancing fun fur. I work in various materials that I have around the house. This one is in fabric, which I ironed and pinned. Pencil crayons. It's a piece I did for Doyle Young. This is my drawer full of shiny things, foils, and glitter. That's a piece I did for Vibe magazine in glitter. And I also have this recent obsession, recent as of February this year, with nail polish. There's a close-up of my nails that you can see on my hands, maybe, probably can't see, but you know, see me afterwards. I've got this thing about nail polish. And that led to a project for the design company Droog, where this is the first time I worked on something where I didn't actually do the work myself, but I instructed manicurists to do these manicured chairs for Droog with nail polish. I also work in pencil. It's a piece I very recently did as a certificate for, or an honorary certificate for Milton Glaser. And of course, I work on the computer. So if I'm working in Illustrator, after I have my sketch, I scan it in and then place that scan on a layer in Illustrator. Then using the pen tool with my Wacom tablet and a stylus, I trace by hand, point by point. I never, ever use an auto tracer. It would take me more time to clean up the curves and points of such a thing than it would take me to start from scratch. So in Illustrator, for me, Illustrator is just a finishing tool. I'm redrawing everything I drew by hand, but this time with perfect lines and curves. After drawing it roughly once, I zoom in and go over every single curve, point, and join to get them all perfect. I fiddle with them a lot. Most people probably wouldn't even see what I'm seeing, a slight bulge here, a flat spot there, but I do my best to make it as perfect as I can. Sometimes I don't work either on the computer or in traditional art materials. Sometimes I make arrangements of things. These things don't usually have sketches at all. I have an idea in my head, and then I work directly on a white piece of paper or foam core, and I use some method to draw crop marks for the size of the page to define that area, and then I don't glue anything down, so I just arrange things on that board. So these pieces are really quite delicate. This is filmed at 10 times the speed of my actual working. So it's I'm a lot slower than that, but and it's interesting because people, when they see my work, they often tell me that I must be very patient. And in fact, I'm not a patient person at all. If I have to do something that's a chore for me, I get very impatient very quickly. But for me, this kind of work is sort of meditative. I really enjoy it. I can sit there all afternoon and fiddle around with, in this case, these little pieces of macaroni, or in other cases, sugar or flower petals, or whatever it is that I've decided to work in at that time. So that was done for, this is actually for my book, I Wonder, which has just been published. I did this particular chapter all in pasta. So I made a separate piece for each page. Each one is different, each one made by hand, nothing done in Photoshop. And then after that, I shoot it on my kitchen table. I have this high-tech photographic studio on my kitchen table with a Canon digital SLR in natural light. So it's not the greatest camera in the world and not the worst, it seems to work. So there are variations on these themes. If I'm making a pattern, there may be more back and forth between the computer and the paper. I may sketch it, then tile it in Photoshop and see how it's working, then print it and redraw it, and I may do that several times. Sometimes I don't make an entire creation by hand, but I do part of it digitally. So for this piece, which was also for my book, I made these little tiny artworks out of bits of leaves and flower petals. And this one in particular, and these as well, I actually made while I was visiting Stefan Sagmeister in Bali. So these are all exotic flowers. And then this one I made in my own backyard from flowers from my garden. And this one as well. And then I take those pieces and arrange them in Photoshop. So this one does have digital work. It's got a lot of repeating and rotating of these elements in Photoshop to make the entire thing. And sometimes happy accidents happen. So I had to do this project, which was a number 17, and one day, it was one of the things on my list to do, and I live on an island, and frequently we get, the power goes out, and sometimes it'll be out for a few hours, or maybe even a full day. So this happened, the power went out and it was in the evening, and I thought, well, okay, I'll work on that number 17. And I decided that I was gonna make it out of toothpicks and glue the toothpicks together in this little structure, and I was gonna make it very, very complicated. But I was working by candlelight, and I got sort of the basic structure of the number 17, and I realized that the candlelight was casting these wonderful shadows. And so the complexity that I was looking for actually came out of the shadows, which was, purely serendipitous. It was not my plan. So I just stopped there, grabbed the camera, and photographed it in the candlelight. So step number 5 is giving up and starting over. There are absolutely times when things don't work out. And a very, very important lesson to learn is that you can throw out a lot of work and still recover. This is a hard one to learn. And every time I find myself far down the path of something that I know in my heart is not working, it's very hard to stop and start over. It's difficult to just walk away from days worth of time. But if it's not working, don't compromise, just walk away. I do it all the time. So this was a sketch for a very recent issue of Creative Review in the UK, and my intention had been to paint it in watercolors. And I got this far with it, and I decided that I didn't like it. The quality wasn't good enough. I'm not a good enough painter. It's too loose. I really didn't like it. And so even though I was on a very tight deadline, I recreated it. I stopped and I recreated the entire cover in Illustrator. And so this is the final cover. This isn't even it's not even on press yet, but it's going to be the next issue of Creative Review. So there are two things notably missing in my process that most other designers would talk about, and that is strategy and concept. I'm not a strategic designer, and I'm not really a conceptual designer, although sometimes my work has a concept which just comes out of the thinking process. But primarily, I'm a visual designer, and my desired end result is something that's visually compelling. I'm going to take you very quickly through a project that I did that got rejected partway through the process. So they gave me the template for the magazine. It's a Canadian magazine, and they gave me free rein to do whatever I wanted with it. It was a special issue for them. So I started by drawing a grid based on the logo type. This is very common for me to create alignments based on information that I'm already given. So there it is. Then I printed that out. I just drew the grid in Illustrator. I printed that out, and then I started sketching on it. Then it goes back into Illustrator, and I did the type. And then I started doing color blocks. So I added a bit more. Move some things around. Now I knew that this wasn't going to be the final piece. My intention was that these color blocks would eventually not be solid, but would have ornamentation in them. And I explained that to the client, and I had some other pieces that I'd done that way to show them what that would be like. So the title was 2010 Designers of the Year. And then I go in and I start fiddling with the curves of the two here. Just adjusting it a little bit. And then I showed this to them and explained how it would be, and they rejected it. And I really was very distressed that they rejected it. And so I decided that it was such a great idea that I wanted to finish the cover. And so I rearranged the letters of their logo type to make something that was not the name of the magazine, but that still held the grid alignment that I based on their logo type. And then I started adjusting things, going in and doing final details. So I adjust the black line up above the logo so that it fits there perfectly. And then I start, I zoom into the text, and if you look at the end of the E's there, I adjust them so that everything, I'll just go back and forth a little bit. So I just like tighten everything up, because when I first did it, I just sort of put it together. But now I zoom in and I get everything lined perfectly. And then again here with the end of the E's, I adjust them so that they go, the middle stroke of the E goes at an angle, and the A also, not so that they're illustrator lines that end at a strange angle, but that are terminated at the baseline. And then zooming out again, and I start adding some ornamentation to it. The gray, by the way, was silver. It would have been a great cover. So I'm playing around with different placements of things and colors and different patterns. At this point, I decided that I wanted a denser pattern up in that black corner there, so I changed the pattern design, add things, take them out. And that is the final cover. So that's basically the end of my talk. I do want to mention that I just published a book. It's called I Wonder, and it actually is for sale here in the shop. The shop outside, I guess, near the entrance. And I wish I could talk more about that, but I don't have time. I've got this thing where I'm showing it, flipping through it. But anyway, it's a great book, and it's not for sale yet in the United States, but it is for sale here. So if you're interested, go get it. So that's it. I'm done. Thank you.